Okay. So lesson number 8. This corresponds to principle 4, to step 4. So this is the principle that we're going to be talking about today. Let's read it again. Principle 4, openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to someone I trust. Let's also read the scripture. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And step 4 is we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. And the scripture that goes with that is from Lamentations. Let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. Lesson number 8 is about a sponsor. We discussed the importance of having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, which you find when you make the decision to turn your life and your will over to the care of God. Now you will see that the road to recovery is not meant to be traveled alone. You will find that you actually need 3 relationships. The most important is your relationship with Jesus Christ. You also need a relationship with your recovery group or a church family. And last, you need a relationship with a sponsor and or an accountability partner. Here's Ben.
So, Lone Ranger, even Lone Ranger had a sidekick, right? We don't want to do this recovery thing all by ourselves. We need to realize that we need some help in this process. So, I spoke with someone this week, and I've been working with them, and there's a marriage, and one of the people in the marriage had an affair, and what's interesting is I'm trying to talk to the other person, the guy, about having a guy friend, having a friend that he can talk to when things are getting rough, a guy friend that he can talk to when things may not be going as well in his marriage. Why? Because the way that he got to the place where he had an affair was that he didn't have any guy friends. So there was a woman, in his work environment, and he connected with her, and she was a listening ear, and a relationship started. Yet this person is resistant to bringing another guy into his life to help him be accountable for his marriage. It's a dangerous place to be. As I grew up in church, I remember a mentor of mine, and I heard something about accountability relationships, and I don't think I'd ever heard anything like that before. It wasn't said that way before. And I asked this person that was important to me, that important to my spiritual development. I asked them about it, and they said, essentially, they said, I don't believe in those kind of things. And several, a year or two later, I realized why, is because they had some things in their life that they weren't willing to put under the accountability of anyone, and nearly ruin their life. So this idea that we can't do this alone, we need to identify some people to bring along the journey with us. And so identifying a sponsor is important before we go into principle 4 and as we go into principle 5 and principle 6. Because we're going to do some work on getting right with God and getting right with ourselves and getting right with others. And this is not a journey that you want to start without having someone to walk this path with you. So in lesson 7, we discuss this process of doing a moral inventory. And this is where we evaluate our weaknesses as well as our strengths. So this goes both ways. We have someone to walk through this process with us because we may have blind spots. We may be blind to the parts of us in which there is strength. And, of course, we know that we have weaknesses and we have blind spots in areas that we just can't see, which we would call weaknesses. And this is like peeling back an onion when we think about this inventory process. And you need another person to help you face the truth underneath all the layers of the hurts, hang-ups, and habits that are a part of your life right now. If you think about what happens when you cut an onion, if you're not careful, you can start to what? You can start to cry. So who's going to be there to kind of help you dab tears when you get into some of who you are that isn't so fun to look at, when the tears well up? And also, who's going to help you pick up those peelings? You start peeling back the onion of who you are and your past. Who's going to be there to help you? As you peel away your past and expose your deeds to the light of God's truth, you will eventually get to the core of your real self, which is when the fun begins, the fun of recovery. And so part of this process is like taking out the trash. There's a lot of things that we have experienced in our life that we could consider trash, or we can consider things that have been very difficult for us. And I know for me, when I get ready to take out the trash, my 8-year-old daughter comes out there with me. We have like 3 or 4 different containers of recycled material, and then we have the trash that we need to take out. And when she comes out there with me to either take the trash out or to bring it back in, I know that it's just an easier job for me. It's a lot more fun because I get to hang out with her and joke around with her. And that's what we're talking about here, is that we bring someone along with us. A couple of weeks ago, Bruce was talking to us about this idea of bearing your own burdens. And so part of what we do in the Celebrate Recovery process is that this is our own to do. We have to do this inventory. This is our own inventory. This isn't anyone else's inventory. It's my inventory to do. And certainly I have to bear the responsibility to being honest with God and allowing God to change the deeper parts of who I am. But that doesn't mean that I do this alone, and it doesn't mean that I do it in isolation, because if I do it in isolation, I'm likely to miss a lot of the things that God wants to say to me in the process. So I'm bearing my own burden, but I'm also asking other people to help bear this burden with me, whether that's an accountability group or whether that's another person that I ask to join me. Tonight's lesson is going to look at the 5 questions. Why would I need a sponsor? What are the qualities that I would look for in a sponsor? What does a sponsor do for me? How would I go about finding a sponsor? And then lastly, what is the difference between a sponsor and an accountability partner? So that's going to just frame the things that I'm going to say tonight before we break up into our smaller groups. So there's 3 reasons why you and I need sponsors. One of them is because it's biblical. The second is that it's a key part of our recovery process. And the third is that it helps to safeguard against us going back to the old patterns and ways of living that we had before. So this is Ecclesiastes chapter 4. I'm going to ask you to read this with me. Ready? 2 are better than 1 because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. 2 are better than 1. If I fall, that person can help me up. And then the end of this passage here, let's read this together. Again, if 2 lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can 1 be warm alone? Though 1 may be overpowered by another, 2 can withstand him, and a 3-fold cord is not quickly broken. So here at the end of this, it's really talking about like a struggle or a battle. And if I have someone that I'm back-to-back with, I'm a lot more confident in my battle against the enemy. And let's face it, we have an enemy. We have an enemy of our soul that would like nothing more than to just tear at our soul and to keep us from having the kind of relationship with God and kind of relationship with others that we can have. So we're talking about a 3-fold cord tonight. Part of that 3-fold cord is me. Part of that 3-fold cord is my relationship with Christ. And then part of that 3-fold cord is a relationship with at least one other believer who has my back, so to speak. And that's the 3-fold cord. And that's a cord that it says is not quickly broken. If you want to be a Lone Ranger, you want to go do it on your own and with Jesus, you're welcome to do that. But in this scripture, it reminds us that it's the 3-fold cord that we should be striving for. In Proverbs 27, verse 17, it says this. Let's read together. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. And it's this idea of iron sharpening iron. When you sharpen a knife, you use some other kind of steel, you use this sharpening rod that's here. And this is what a friend of mine does for me. He sharpens me. He brings up things that I would rather not talk about. He is frank with me. He confronts me. He holds me accountable to things that I've told him that I want to be part of my life. And sometimes it's not fun, and sometimes there may even be sparks. But that process makes me stronger. That process makes me sharper. It sharpens my countenance. It sharpens my mind. It sharpens my soul. And so there are four key elements that we're going to talk about tonight, and one is maintaining an honest view of reality. Two is attending Celebrate Recovery meetings often. Three is staying in communication with Jesus Christ through prayer and the study of His Word. And then the fourth is getting involved in service in our church and also here at Celebrate Recovery meetings, that we find a way to give back. So let's talk about maintaining an honest view of reality. This program will not fail you if you are totally honest. If you come here every week and you say, Lord, I'm going to be as honest with you as I could possibly be, and in my small group time, I'm going to be honest with the people in my group. That doesn't mean you have to say everything that's in your heart every Monday night in that group. Obviously, you have to figure out your comfortability level and what you're willing to share with the group. But if you're willing to be as honest as you can in that group, these are the kinds of things that are going to help you. And what a sponsor does is that person helps keep you honest. Okay? When you get to that point where you want to shade the truth, or you get to that point where you want to cut a corner, or you get to that place where you are going to take a different path than what you originally set out to take, that's where the sponsor comes in and lovingly and gracefully says, that's not what we talked about earlier. That's not what you decided you wanted to do earlier. And that person helps keep you honest. To ask you about what are some of the motivations of why you're doing what you're doing. We talked about this older brother earlier in our worship time. Why was he doing all the things he was doing? He wasn't doing them for love of the Father, because you could see all this resentment that was built up. He was doing it for motives that were less than pure. And so the sponsor helps us with that. If we think about those who haven't been able to follow through on their recovery, many of those people haven't been able to do so because they couldn't step out of their denial and step into the truth of what was going on in their lives. They just couldn't handle reality, and they couldn't handle that for an extended period of time. And what a sponsor does is they help us through that. It's a difficult thing to look at things for how they are. Sometimes things seem like they're going really well for us in a marriage or in our job or in our recovery or life recovery, and then we come to find out that there are lots of cracks in the pottery of who we are. That can be very discouraging. Having a sponsor with us at that point really helps encourage us that, yes, we can look at things for the way they are and see reality, but it's not just me. It's my friend Scott who walks through that with me. And sometimes we clearly know what all those cracks are, and that's very discouraging. The sponsor helps us through that. When we talk about attending Celebrate Recovery meetings often, it's just making this a priority. If these things resonate with you, then I just want to encourage you to be here as often as you can. It's not a requirement. You come whenever you want. That's just part of what Celebrate Recovery is like, that you come and go as you please. This is the large group meeting, and you don't have to sign on for 10 weeks or anything like that. But obviously, you go on vacation or something comes up, that's fine. But we have to remember that our hurts, hang-ups, and habits don't go on vacation. They don't take days off. We still are dealing with the things that we need to deal with. And then, obviously, when we get to that point on a Monday where we think, but this is not going to go this week. If we have a sponsor in our life, and we know we're going to be speaking to them later in that week, and they may be asking us, so how are you doing that Celebrate Recovery thing? And we know we're going to have to give an account for it, then it may make us kind of help us step up our game to be here as often as the Lord makes it possible for us to be here. And in terms of staying in communication with Jesus Christ through prayer and study of His Word, just praying each day to connect with Him in terms of our recovery, if you're a beginner at this, maybe looking at the book of Proverbs or the book of Psalms and just reading one of them, you know, you don't have to try to tackle a huge portion, maybe something small. What message came to your mind as you were reading it? Perhaps you could write that down, carry it in your pocket with you, think about it during the day. And obviously your sponsor can pray with you and help you, keep you centered on God's Word. And then at the end of the day, just taking an opportunity to thank Jesus for his many blessings, maybe reviewing your day as if you were seeing it on videotape, and asking God, how was he a part of your day? And were there times and places where you didn't allow him to enter into your life during that day? And then the last key element is that we start serving at our Celebrate Recovery meetings and at church, that we find ways to give back, whether it's reading the welcome, whether it's becoming a sponsor, an accountability partner for someone here in our group, whether it's greeting people as they come in or bringing snacks. There are lots of different ways that we can serve. And obviously, once you complete the process and you complete the 8 principles, then you could become a sponsor for someone else. This is following Jesus' example of washing other people's feet, of being a servant. So the 3 reasons that we started with, this is a biblical thing, it's a key part of our recovery, and it helps us safeguard against going back and relapsing in any part of our life. In terms of safeguarding against relapse, there's this verse from Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 5. Let's read this one together. It is better to be criticized by a wise man than to be praised by a fool. If we think about the trouble with most of us is that we'd rather be ruined by praise than saved by criticism. It's great to hear how wonderful we're doing and how great we are, but how many of us want to take constructive criticism or constructive feedback? That isn't fun, but that's the thing that's going to help us from going back, from stepping back. Now, there are certain qualities that we want to look for in a sponsor. We're just not going to choose anyone for this. This needs to be someone whose walk matches their talk. So there are a lot of people who talk a good game. They talk that they're a Christian or they talk they have their life together. But when you watch the way they live, that isn't so much the case. So we're looking for someone who has a congruency between what they're saying they want to do and what they're doing, and that's a positive direction that's going to be beneficial for you. Is he living the 8 principles? As you look at the 8 principles we read earlier, is the person that you might choose to be your sponsor living out those things? Does she have a growing relationship with Jesus Christ? Are they stagnant? Are they stuck? I mean, we all get to that place where we get stuck at various times in our Christian growth. And the Lord's gracious with us in those times. But if you're going to choose a sponsor, you really need to choose someone who's not in that place, because you want someone who's growing and developing themselves so they can help you. Does this person express a desire to help others? It may be a person who has the capability. They may even have the time to do it. But do they have the willingness to work with you? If they don't, then you're going to be constantly trying to reach out to them, and they're constantly going to be rebuffing you, and that's not going to create a good dynamic. Does this person show compassion? Do they care? Do they show hope but not pity? So you're looking for someone who is not just going to hold you accountable, but is going to do it with grace and is going to do it in love, not in a legalistic way. Is the person a good listener? If they keep interrupting you when you're trying to say something, you won't be able to get out the things that are in your heart. That's not going to create a good dynamic. Is she strong enough to confront your denial and procrastinations? We don't want to choose someone who's only going to give us encouragement, only going to give us praise, only going to candy coat everything and Pollyanna everything. We want someone who every once in a while is going to kind of give us a little push, a little prod. Does the person offer suggestions? Or, you know, if it's a person that just listens all the time and never gives you suggestions, then that's not going to be a good fit either. And the last one is, can she share her own current struggles? Part of the way that we learn is hearing how other people have struggled and made it through. And if the person's not willing to let you into how they are dealing with things or how they've dealt with things in the past, then that can end up being a not so healthy thing. We'll also want to talk about the role of this person. What are we asking them to do? What are we asking them to be for us? One of them is in our groups here at Celebrate Recovery, we only have about 45 minutes. So we don't have a lot of time for each one of us to get in depth into the issues that have brought us here tonight. So with a sponsor, we are able to discuss details that may be too personal, details that may be time-consuming for a 45-minute time span here. With a sponsor, you might be able to sit down for an hour, and you're the only one there, and you can share for an hour. So this is one of the roles, is to go a little bit deeper with somebody. Also, they may be available to you in times of crisis or times when you start to backslide. This person is a sounding board for you, and they also have an objective point of view. They're not a person who already has an agenda against you or completely for you. They're willing to be objective and to look at what they see in you and to tell you what they see, to give you feedback. This is not a person who's going to work the steps for you and do all the work for you and hand you all the stuff and say, here it is, and kind of go ahead of you. This is someone who is going to walk with you and is going to make you do the work. And it's not someone who's going to kind of hold you back, but when you're ready to go to that next area, they're going to encourage you into that next area. They're going to let you do it at the pace that you're prepared to do it. And if you kind of get a little bogged down, they might help you move a little bit quicker. This is a person that models a lifestyle, as we said earlier, resulting from the 8 principles. And the point about this is not someone that you might have for life. If it turns out after a week or a month or a year that they're not willing to walk with you that next day or week or year, that's fine. They can step down from that. It's not something that they sign on forever. And if you don't feel like it's working out, you know, from the beginning you can say, you know, let's see how this works and reevaluate after a certain period of time. And you could fire them if you need to. How do you find a sponsor? Strongly suggested that you find someone. If you're a woman, that you find a woman. If you're a man, that you find a man. It can be there are a lot of dangers in having someone of the opposite sex to be your accountability partner or a sponsor. There may be lots of people that you would think of for this. Obviously, you have to narrow it down to a couple of people that you might think and ask them. Listening to people speak, whether it's at church or here, listening to whether or not you resonate with what they're saying. That's one way to kind of get a sense of what it would be like to have someone as a sponsor. To get to know them a little better before asking. So maybe asking if you do coffee or lunch or something like that, find out a little bit more about them before you ask them to take this role in your life. And if they say no, don't take it personally. We live in a society where we just take on lots of responsibilities and there are lots of great things that we can all be involved in, but we can't do them all. So if someone says no, don't make it a personal thing. Just move on and try to find someone else. If you can't find someone who will sign on for a year or extended period of time, maybe you ask somebody if they can just be, you know, your accountability partner sponsor for a period of time. We're going to be going through these lessons here, which take us through this inventory, and part of this process will be done in the next 5 weeks. Maybe you get someone that would sign on for that period of time. And most importantly, just ask God. He wants you more than you want it for yourself, for you to have someone to do this. So ask Him for help. So I use the word sponsor. I use the word accountability partner. And we need to distinguish between the two. The first is a sponsor. This is someone who has either completed these 8 principles of another Celebrate Recovery program or has been through a 12-step program. AA, NA, there's probably dozens and scores of different anonymous programs. It's someone that can guide you through. They've already been ahead of you. They have already been through all the steps that you're going to be through. And so they know what's coming for you and they know how to guide you through that. Accountability people are those who hold you accountable. This can be a person, it can be one person, it could be a team. This could be 2 or 3 people that you would have in your life. As we think about it, accountability people, or AP as I put it on the screen here, this is like, think of it like a team. These are people that you want part of your team, whereas a sponsor is someone who's like a coach. They're not necessarily on your team, but they're responsible for your team. They have made themselves responsible to help you. Okay. So we're going to end it there.